This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. One of the greats. We've watched him play basically 20 years in the major leagues as a pitcher, three-time World Series champion, six-time All-Star. Twice he led the National League in strikeouts, Curt Schilling. Curt, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
What's up, guys?
All right, Curt. We missed you on Media Row. You were here for Super Bowl week, but my daughter missed you. She works at the World War II Museum, and you are a big fan of the World War II Museum, and she was telling me that at one time I think you served on the board for the World War II Museum.
I did. So this is the 25-year anniversary, June 6th this year. I was on the original board of directors. A lot of my World War II collection resides in the museum itself, and I had a chance to hang out down there while I was down in New Orleans, and I'm just blown away by what it's become. Last year I was actually in the Netherlands for the 80th anniversary of the Battle of Arnhem. We had a chance to see cemeteries and museums all over Europe, and I would tell you that from I'm a World War II history guy, the museum is probably one of the, it's a bucket list item for people. There's some amazing, amazing experiences to be had in there.
I remember when Stephen Ambrose came up with that idea, and Steve, you know, he passed away and didn't get to see all this, but he would be so thrilled to see that museum as a must-see item here in New Orleans.
Agreed. And you know, one of the things I hope that during the week of the Super Bowl that the museum got swarmed just because of everything that's happened down in that town and that beautiful city since the disasters. I want to see New Orleans get back on its feet again, and that's certainly going to be a centerpiece to that happening.
Curt, I always talk about this, I guess as I get older, when you think about sustained success and playing big in the biggest moments. It doesn't matter if you're in the law, you know, in the lawyer business, or you're a doctor, or you're an engineer, whatever, or in the sports business. It's all about sustained excellence. You have done that at the highest level. You know, you think about what you've been able to accomplish and being a three-time World Series champion. I don't know where we lost this about not recognizing people with sustained excellence in life at any level. And
I certainly appreciate that. I mean, that's very kind of you to say.
But I think we've sort of lost that for whatever reason in our lives. We lose it. And what gave you that drive? Because not a lot of guys can pitch that long.
We lost it because of the world we live in. The world we live in is all about immediate returns, is all about immediate gratification. And we, you know, I think about this. I say this being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I spent years in New England, in the New England area in Boston, and in 1999, nobody on the planet cared about the New England Patriots. 20 years later, it's one of the most hated franchises in existence, and the only reason it is because they won.
Yeah,
we have such an affinity for the odd take in the sense that we love underdogs and we hate when the underdogs become the favorites. Like, we're rooting for them to win, and then when they win, we're like, okay, that's enough. And you know, we don't like sustained success. And it's harder and harder to do these days, I think, for just because of the sheer athleticism of athletes these days is so different than it used to be. But, my motivation was personal. I would tell you the single most motivating factor in my life was an extreme fear of failure. And I came to find out that, for the most part, all great, anybody that was good at something, that was a very significant part of their makeup. And I hated failing so much in my mind that I would do whatever I have to do to make sure it never happened again, knowing full well it probably would. But I never lost that.
Kurt, I think about it where you got to pitch. And, you know, when you that long a pitcher, you're going to kind of clip around a little bit. You got to pitch in Philly. And, man, when you went in there, man, you on top of the world.
Yeah.
Man, when things aren't good, you a bum. And it started the same thing in Boston. Two fan bases that are kind of linked in the chain when you think about baseball and their caring of baseball and also sports in general.
Well, I laugh. Since I retired at people in the real world, I'm using air quotes here, who come to me and will say things and like, oh, I don't mean to offend you. I'm like, dude, I played 15 years in Philly and Boston. You think you're going to offend me? I walked into Yankee Stadium in a Red Sox uniform. I heard things about my mother I never knew existed. You can't offend me. I've heard it all. And when you realize that it's never personal because the people saying the things they say don't know you, you grow thick skin, and you have to. You know this as well. You guys have to have a thick skin in sports to survive in a clubhouse because everything's on the table. As far as sustained success goes. But I think it's funny you mentioned sustained success because one of the things I'm paying attention to is college baseball season.
Yeah,
kicking off, and I would be comfortable putting $1,000 on the table and saying Texas A&M, LSU, Arkansas, Tennessee, or Florida, one of those will win the SEC. I mean, they are freaking loaded this year. Loaded. And Ben McDonald was one of my first teammates and roommates in professional baseball. He's been a friend for him and Nikki and their family. And I've caught Ben doing some stuff with the SEC. But I got to tell you, college baseball, and in particular, those organizations, those that I mentioned, they're turning into a true minor league franchise. And that's very different than when I grew up and when I got drafted. These guys are coming out of college much more polished than they have in the past, and the baseball has been unbelievable.
Yeah, no question about it since, you know my 60-something years on this earth. College baseball, I talked to Skip Burtman. Skip was like, Mike, I'm going to tell you, when I first came here, they maybe had a couple hundred people. And of those couple hundred people, that were no fans. It was either girlfriends or friends of the family or moms and dads come and watch them.
Yep.
That was none of this. And now it's packed to the gills from Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday at Alex Box. It is unbelievable the growth of college baseball in the South. Like, I've never seen anything before.
Right. I agree. And I for all the evils of the internet and social media, I think that's one of the benefits. I think the exposure that college baseball has gotten, I mean, listen, I could go in all day about this conference, but I got to cut. You look at Texas A&M this year, like, I can't wait. I can't remember what the date is. There's an early season. Late in April, Texas plays Texas A&M. Texas stole Texas A&M's coaching staff. Like, that's going to be fun. Guys are going to be thrown at each other. Like, I can't wait And you know, I what's this kid, Laviolette, with A&M? Yep. I mean, this kid's Aaron Judge, 6'6", a center fielder at 6'6". Come on, he's got. And you're looking at possibly the number one pick with Prager on the mound for them. You know, I mean, you got to feel good if you're an A&M fan. But again, when you look at the sustained excellence of an LSU, of a Tennessee, and it's the same, right? It's Arkansas, it's Florida, it's the warm weather states. You're seeing, in some cases, guys who are much closer to the big leagues and probably better than many minor league players on college baseball fields, and that's pretty cool.
2004, playing on that Red Sox team, okay, they hadn't won. That was the curse of the Bambino. They hadn't won the series since 1916. Being there in Boston at that time, and just to be in the middle of all of that swirl, because they had come so close a couple years before then, and then to win it. For Red Sox fans, and I saw the HBO special on it, was like, you know, so many of them, it's embedded in my mind. You know, I'll forget a lot of other things, but them winning the World Series in 04 will always be there with me.
Right. Yeah, well, two things. First off, the curse was, and that made it easy for me in that sense. I didn't have that hanging over me. And ultimately, in the winter of 2003, when the trade went down, I had to. My wife wanted to be to go to New York, and she wanted me to play for the Yankees. And I knew in the back of my mind, through different conversations, that the Yankees were going to be at my home the day after negotiations with the Red Sox broke off if it didn't work out. And it ultimately came down to a conversation that we had, which was I could go, and you know, we talked about this. So I could go to New York. I could go to New York and I would be a part of winning their 26th, 27th, and 28th World Championship, or I could go to Boston and be a part of something no one alive had ever seen. And that was a far bigger attraction to me than anything. The allure of going somewhere and doing something nobody had ever seen before was way too enticing to pass up.
Charlie? Kurt, you had mentioned earlier Ben McDonald, your former teammate. The guy that broke all of his records in a single season was Paul Skeens. And, you know, he comes from Air Force. He has a legendary 2023 campaign with LSU baseball. He becomes the first overall pick of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And just what you've seen from him early on in his career, wins the NL Rookie of the Year Award, goes 11-3 with a 1.96 ERA and 170 strikeouts. One of the most electric players in all of baseball, and he's on the mound.
Kurt, the other thing, too, isn't that your parents' hometown, Pittsburgh?
My dad was born and raised in Somerset, right outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I grew up a Pirate fan.
Okay.
So, yep. No, I had mentioned something on social media the other day about things I want to see this spring, and he was at number one on my list. I want to see what it looks like this spring because, you know, he's a thoroughbred and a true horse who they're holding back the reins on. My biggest fear is that he's a max effort guy. And I worry about that because I know how the human body's composed and created, and it's not built to do this at that level. And there's a reason why you don't see guys like him. First of all, they're few and far between to begin with, but it's just physically the pounding. I want to see his workload. He was in the Cy Young conversation last year, legitimately, in my opinion, because I don't think people have ever seen anything like that. The day and age of if you think about the way pitching has gone with, you know, dramatic number of injuries and the fact that you have openers and starters are coming out after the fifth and all the things. It used to be, you know, Nolan Ryan against, or Koufax against Gibson. You had that antagonist, the protagonist. You had the matchup every night. That's gone away in a lot of senses because you don't have, you know, oh, I'm going to go see DeGrom and Skeens go up against, well, I'm going to see him for five innings. And I think that's taken a lot away from the game. There are few guys who I would pay money to see, mainly because I'm retired, but he's one of them. I every night, it was like watching him last year was like pitching with Randy in Arizona. every night he takes the ball, you might see something you've never seen in your life. And that, to me, is always the beauty of baseball, because every night you see highlights of guys doing things you've never seen before. And you know, when you get a pitcher like him, you almost want to put that glass case around them to ensure that, because he's good for baseball, ultimately. And he seems like a phenomenal guy. You know, much like Justin Verlander, I think it's unfair to be blessed with that much talent and have a girlfriend that's hot. But, you know, okay. To the rich go the spoils, I guess.
Kurt, we talk about rich goes the spoils. We've had a lot of people here talk about Major League Baseball. They don't like what's happening with the Dodgers, the way they've set up contracts and everything. And listen, part of that is jealousy. I get it. They're able to do it. But your thoughts on what's being pieced together in Los Angeles now? And boy, we do a lot of football talk in the Rams and the Chargers. Man, they're on page 8 or 9. In the newspaper, man, it's Dodgers or Lakers.
Right.
That's it. That's what they care about in LA. Your thoughts on what's happening and what's being done with the Dodgers and a lot of this throwing money back for future contract.
Well, a couple things. First off, if I wasn't on the Dodgers roster, I would not want to be in the NL West. Secondly, as a player, God bless them. I love the fact the players are getting the money they're getting. But if you look back on the last 16 years, there have been 15 different world champions. The competitive balance in base, NFL owns competitive balance, right? I mean, the NFL, for the most part, almost every year, you can have a Super Bowl contender, I mean, that you don't see coming. That generally doesn't happen in baseball, because over 162 games, your awards show. You know, people want a salary cap. I absolutely refuse to believe that that's the answer. The fact of the matter is, baseball's turned into an $11 billion a year business in the big markets. You know, if you want to truly fix it, in a sense, the owners would share revenue. They would split the revenue across the board, and everybody would spend with the same pool. They're not going to do that.
No.
So short of that, what's the other solution? Ask the players to take less?
Mm-mm.
Right? I mean, capitalism is a beautiful thing, and we've seen that it fixes – capitalism kicks the crap out of government and oversight every time. But, you know, the team with the highest payroll doesn't win the World Series every year. Now, the higher your payroll, I think there is an argument to be made, the better your chances are playing in October. But, and 04 was a great example. The Red Sox-Yankees series, if you looked at the rosters, the Yankees had Hall of Famers all over that roster. Those things don't matter in October. The best teams win in October, and they always have. And, I'll hold that to my dying breath. So, the problem is, and I think it's a real hard conversation, you could split the roster in L.A. in two and have two competitive teams. And that kind of sucks for the rest of baseball, I think. But I don't think it's bad, because doesn't the world love to hate somebody?
Yes, I think you're right.
Right, and if you think about it, against all odds, the Dodgers are more disliked than the Yankees. How did that happen?
Kurt, we got to get you back in broadcasting full time. Man, listen, we've had a lot of people come on here and talk baseball, but you being able to maybe get to the point with it and your bluntness about things. Now, sometimes people don't like that. They don't like to be told the truth about stuff. They really don't. But, man, you got to get back full time doing this.
But I say it often in the sense that I know at my heart I'm a good person, so I'm not going to say things malicious or mean-spirited or anything. But people always say, I love you because you tell it like it is. And I try to make sure they temper that with, no, I'm telling you what I think. That doesn't mean I'm right.
Right.
But if you don't want my opinion, don't ask me, because I'm not going to answer the question with a yes or no answer. I'm going to give you what I think and what I feel about things, and you might not like it, but if you don't want the opinion, don't ask.
Kurt, one last one before we let you run. I wanted to ask you about Alex Bregman going to your Red Sox. You know, I'm an Astros fan.
Oh,
Kurt.
he's an Astros fan.
I saw the writing on the wall over the winter. I knew it was going to happen. Right. He was going to land somewhere, whether that be Chicago or Detroit. He ends up in Boston with that 3-year, $120 million contract. So, first and foremost, your thoughts on that. And then also the kind of comments that came out about Rafael Devers, that he wants to play third base. He's the third baseman here. Just, and, you know, Bregman being a professional that he is.
I think a couple things. I think it's a great signing. I mean, this. Alex is a Hall of Famer in the making. I thought, given what happened after the signing, I thought that there was a huge mistake made by the Red Sox front office in not communicating with all parties involved. No way the Devers comments should have even been public. But what would have been the harm in reaching out to Rafael and say, hey, listen, you know, we're thinking about bringing in this superstar, and you know, we're not sure what we want to do positionally, getting his feedback right then, because I guarantee you if that conversation had happened, his comment would have never been made. And knowing Alex, I guarantee you Alex made sure that it was water under the bridge immediately, which he did. There was a report the other day that he spent almost 45 minutes working defensively with Rafael third base. Alex is a gold glover. Like, you know, and ultimately I think the solution will be Rafael will come out with whatever, I'll do whatever I need to do to make this team, to help this team win. You hope that's the result, because Alex is going to. Alex will play right center field if he has to help the team win. And if you're going to win, you have to have buy-in from everybody, and you certainly have to have buy-in from your best player. And you know, I was kind of surprised that an Alex Cora-led team had that happen, because I guarantee you Alex made sure that that was dead the day after it came out. But, you know, other than that, I think it's a great signing. You know, short contract for big dollars seems to be a smart thing to do, unless you can defer $600 million for 30 years. I think it's a great signing. He is, you know, Alex is one of those guys that always confounded sabermetrics people, because sabermetrics people always looked at it like, okay, here's the nine guys. This is our optimal roster. This is how many runs we're going to score. We can't lose. And they never win. And they could never put their thumb on that sixth tool, which was, this guy's a baseball player. And Alex Bregman has that sixth tool. Like, he has things. He helps the team, and I know people will poo-poo this, but I've seen it happen, and I know it for a fact. There are guys who help you win games when the games aren't being played. There are guys who, after that Sunday night baseball game at 3 in the morning when you're in customs in Toronto, everybody's miserable. There's the guy like Alex who says something that makes everybody laugh and makes it okay. That is something of value that you can't put a tangible value to. It bothers people who make decisions based on numbers. And Alex is definitely one of those guys.
Kurt, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Yep. Man, really enjoyed the conversation. Best of luck to you. And you do so many things away from the game. People, you know, with ALS and also autism awareness.
Thank
and
you.
What you brought out
yep.
about the World War II Museum. We really appreciate everything you do, just not as the former player, but also as the guy.
Thanks, Kurt.
Also, I appreciate that, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. Kurt Schilling, 3-time World Series champ. Charlie, that was awesome. Great interview with Kurt Schilling. Tell us a lot about Major League Baseball.